Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
When we talk.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all been having a good week, this very weird week. I'm actually doing this intro on Wednesday. I'll tell you why in a minute. But yes, it has been a weird week. I woke up yesterday morning, just when you think things couldn't get weird. You know what I mean? Like, they voted the Trump guy out of office back in 2020. So we're like, it's going to be okay. And it's like, it's a stolen election. And then January 6th happened. And then like all the craziness and Jesus. And then you don't think it can get any weirder. I wake up yesterday, as many of us probably did, and, you know, looked at your phone to see what happened. And then you're like, what the fuck? We're entering the Handmaid's Tale era of American history. I hope not. Jesus Christ. It's not even just Texas. It's like the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. Fuck. Jesus Christ. Well, look, we're good. Look, I don't know. We got to all vote. We got to get out there. We got to vote. We got to make our voices heard. It's no time to fuck around anymore. That's the truth. No time to fuck around anymore. Get out there and vote. Do what you can. Get involved. Have your voice be heard. If you disagree with this sort of thing, let's get these people out of office and get new. I guess it's going to take decades to rebalance the Supreme Court. Jesus. Anyway. God damn. As I said, I'm doing this on Wednesday morning because I'm going to Houston today. My cousin Megan and her son Max are going to Houston for a few days. They're going to stay at my grandma's. My aunt Olga got a new dog named Toby that's going to be playing with my dog Rosie. I'm very excited to see everyone. Also, I'm going down there today. Going to stay there until Saturday morning. And I won't be there for Mother's Day on Sunday because I'm coming back to play not one, but two private solo shows on Saturday. I have one in the afternoon and then I have another one that night. Isn't that weird? The one at night's like a house concert. They're both birthday party shows. Isn't that odd? I was talking to a friend of mine at like the afternoon one came first, but it was a last minute one. And they reached out to me and Susanna Schofel. They said, hey, will you guys come in and do this thing? I'm like, yeah, awesome. And then I was talking to a friend of mine later that day and she's like, what are you doing next weekend? I'm like, oh, I'm playing this solo private show. And she was like, you do solo private shows? I'm like, yeah. She's like, damn, I got a friend looking for somebody. Let me see if she hasn't found someone. So then I'm doing that show that afternoon. And then that night I'm going to somebody's house and playing another birthday party house concert. So that should be fun. Good times on Saturday. So I'll miss them. Looking forward to spending some more time with the family this week. My grandma, she's getting old. She's going to be 99 in a couple weeks, 99 years old. And she's still kicking. I mean, she had to go to the emergency room this week. She's been sick, but she's doing better now. Looking forward to hanging out with her, playing with the new dog, seeing my cousin Megan, Emily, all the family, my aunt Olga and her new dog, Toby. If you want to see what's going on with that, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. I'm sure I'll be posting lots of stories, lots of pictures of the family. In fact, you know what? Let's very quickly, let's talk about this whole getting involved with stuff. Can we? For just a second, gang. Listen, if you're new to the podcast, or if you listen to the podcast every once in a while and you don't subscribe to it, do us a favor, subscribe to it. If you like the show, like, there are ways that you can like it, like an episode. If you like it, like that episode. If you really love it and you want the world to know about it, share that episode. And if you follow us, if you don't follow us on any podcast platform, you can follow us on any of them. Follow us, commit to it, man. Get an alert when a new show comes up. You never know who's going to be on the show. We had John Doe on last week. Yeah, that's right. We had Joel Mullins on the other day. Today, I've got a great show for you today. Nick Diaz from Buenos Diaz is on the show. So yes, follow us. Like the shows that you like. And if you really like it, share it. It makes a huge difference to us. It makes a huge difference to me. I would really, really appreciate it. Also, you can follow me on social media. I am at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow How Did I Get Here on Facebook. We have How Did I Get Here, the Facebook page. Go like it, you know? And if there is a show on here, if you're a big Buenos Dias fan, share it. It helps Buenos Dias. It helps me. Helps the world. So don't forget to subscribe, like, you know, leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. It makes all the difference in the world, and it means a lot to me. All right? So get involved. As I said, gang, we have a great show today. Nick Diaz with the band Buenos Diaz is on the show today. Yeah, that's right. He's got a brand new album dropping in August. It's called Cocaine Queen. The single Cocaine Queen is already out, and you'll hear it in just a second. But the next single from the album, Amplified Crickets, which is a really awesome, like a Paul's Boutique vibe song. You're going to love it. It drops next Friday, May 13th. Then he's dropping another single, Be Kind Rewind, in June, and then dropping his album, 10 tracks, 35 minutes, in August 5th. Nick is a great guy, man. He was on about 5 years ago. That's right. The last time he put out a record, he was here, and he recorded this record himself. He did it all like in his home. He had drummers come in and play on it. And he had Dan Workman from Houston mix it. A guy who's worked with ZZ Top and Beyonce. Fantastic dude. I actually interviewed Dan Workman back in like 2011 or 2012, maybe in Houston backstage at the House of Blues. That was really fun right before a Skyrocket show. The record was released by, was mastered by Kevin Blackler in Brooklyn. Fantastic Grammy-nominated mastering engineer. The record's fantastic. It's an adventure, man. I can't wait for all of you to hear it. In fact, I'm glad I have the secret SoundCloud thing, because I really enjoy listening to it. You can find out when they're playing again by going to buenosdiazmusic.com, buenosdiazmusic.com, and also that link is in the text of this podcast, in the text in there. Great talking to Nick. Always great catching up with him. He's such a sweet guy. He's such a really talented dude. Like, he can do all these different things. Like, he's a great singer. He's a great songwriter. But on top of that, he's this great guitar player that people bring on to play with him, including people like Alejandro Escovedo and people like that. Nick Diaz, great guy from the band Buenos Diaz. Please enjoy our conversation starting now. Let's get down. Like, you have to have a guy work on your pedals and guitars and
shit?
Yeah,
I don't work on any. I mean, I guess what, mechanical side of that stuff is pretty elusive to me.
It is.
I get frustrated when I try to do anything like that. Right. I can do it for a second, and then I'm like, what am I doing?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't either.
Sorry. There's a great story. It's too long to get into on this thing that has to do with when I lived with Joseph and one of the guys that lived with him. Fixing my wah-wah pedal.
Okay.
And I was playing a show, and there was shit flying out of my wah-wah pedal, it wasn't working as well. But he got it working. You know how sometimes they just go limp?
Yeah.
Well, when I opened it up, I'm not joking. He had wedged two chocolate chip cookies where the little thing with the teeth goes, and it really worked for a while, but I guess it started crunching out, and little pieces of cookie were flying out when I do my wah-wah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Cocaine Queen, this record is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of A lot of everything that went into that record.
So, did you do it during the quarantine times?
No. Well,
way before?
Part of it. No, actually, no.
Yeah. You did it on your own, right? At your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has that vibe.
Does it?
Yeah, okay. In the best way possible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like the first McCartney record, like okay, the Prince cool. records that are like that. Like,
awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you yeah. can hear, you can kind of hear the wheels turning sure. in the guy's mind while he's...
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
No, well, it was getting mixed during the quarantine. So I kind of had finished recording all of it already by the time that happened. It's kind of a little blurry just because I worked on it for like 4 years.
Right.
So the timeline is a little hazy to me, but, yeah.
I did one of these with Dan Workman.
Oh, did you really?
Years ago.
Oh, I didn't know
like
that.
Like backstage at House of Blues.
Oh, so
in
cool.
Houston. I love that guy. He's so awesome.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He and I really have a great, like just like our workflow and connection is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's like part of it. We share a little bit of history, at least, you know, Houston guys.
Right.
He spent time in New York and he went to Berkeley in the 70s when like Pat Metheny was
there. Oh, really?
Yeah. But he only did it for a little while. And then he was just got into the experimental music scene. So when I bring in these quirky things, it all makes sense.
Wait, you went to Berkeley?
No, I didn't. No, okay. I didn't. Okay. But just spending time in the Northeast.
Right. Right.
just
spending time in the Northeast.
Yeah.
... makes you play like Pat Metheny.
Yeah. Right. Something like that. Yeah, he's a great dude, and we've just found a really nice vibe as far as, like, I feel like my production team has landed finally.
Yeah.
Like, on planet Earth.
It sounds like he gets you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those mixes are real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when we're in the mix process, there's not a whole lot of back and forth. Like, I send him the tracks, he comes up with a mix, and I'm like, maybe this, boom, he does it, and then it's kind of done.
Yeah.
So there's a really nice connection there, I feel like. Because, you know, like sometimes you work with folks or an engineer or whoever, and there can be a lot of back and forth. Like it just doesn't settle. Like the mix and the song doesn't settle.
Right, right.
Whereas between myself and him, that's been really cool, and that's happened.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we shoot it off back to New York, and like I have a good friend there who's a mastering engineer, and he finishes it off, so... We're already working on the next record, too, which is fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the batch of songs written, and some are recorded. The wheels are spinning. That thing is happening. So
right.
Sometimes I take a step back and then dive back in and
yeah.
and whatnot.
Since when this comes out, the only single that'll be out is the title track, Cocaine Queen.
There will be two more coming out over the next
right,
6 weeks.
But when this podcast comes, the only thing people can relate to us actually talking about is this song, Cocaine Queen.
Yes.
So I thought it might be neat if I thought it might be neato if you walked me through and us through, like from the conception to finishing that song. Like, how did you do you write and record at the same time? Like,
yeah,
you know,
no, that's a great question. And it's a little, well, we'll just talk about that song because it's different for almost each one that happens.
The only thing is no one can really reference what we're talking about if we talk about the other song.
Yeah. So. Most of the time for this material, I just pick a drum machine beat. And there's this great app that, funny enough, it doesn't seem like a lot of people know about called Funkbox. And Funkbox is every... drum machine that was ever made in an app, and you can do it just like a drum machine. You can build the beat, you can change the swing, you can change the tempo, but then you can just sift through all the different ones and get the different tones of the different drum machines because they all sound different as far as like a snare drum or a kick drum.
Wait, like how far do they go back? Like the
I think there are 36 machines in it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because there's also, I guess there was the OG model, and then they modified it a little bit and modified a little bit.
Right.
So there's like three to each one.
Wow.
So I got that from a friend of mine, or he told me about it. And so I was like, oh, this is super cool. And I've always loved drum machines a la like Prince. You know, he used the Lin drum machine all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just pick a beat, and I'm really trying to also be focused on writing like more upbeat music and not be sleepy. So like I try to keep the BPM at least above 120 on most things.
I was going
to
say that about this record is it's you're releasing it in August, which is fine, but it's a summer record.
Sure. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, thank God we got September and October doesn't really get cold.
So. Thank God it's already 97 today.
I know, exactly.
Oh my God, it's so hot outside.
It's like April 5th when we're doing this.
It's crazy.
Okay, so go ahead. So you start off with the drum machine.
Drum machine, and then, you know, I mean, I'm a guitar player, but I started playing bass before I even played guitar. So I love playing bass. I play bass at home all the time. Every once in a while, I'll do some for higher gigs. But, you know, I kind of keep it in the studio as far as bass goes. So I'll like, jump to whatever the drum machine is, and then I get on a groove with the bass. So I build it from, you know, the rhythm section up, basically. Yeah. And then I kind of start arranging it around a guitar part maybe that's in my head or something. And then I kind of lay down a lot of the layers, at least drums, bass, and a vocal of some sort. But this song was really interesting. This one took about a year and a half to finish. And I just hit a roadblock as far as like where I was going lyrically and what I wanted it to be about. Hold on, just for the
mm-hmm. listeners, when somebody says it took them a year and a half to write one song, you're like, Jesus, it's only like 3 minutes and 40 seconds right. long or something. It's not like he worked on it every single day,
no,
8 hours a day for a year and a half.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, there was a large break.
Someone said something like that to me once, and I was like, no.
You mean you're in there
yeah,
every
day? I
mean,
I put it away for like a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Came back to it, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember revisiting it maybe three times or so. And nothing was happening again. And I would try. I would sit there for a couple hours and like mess around with whatever. And then finally it clicked. It had to do with going through like a breakup with a girl I had dated. And I was just like, actually, I had just turned 40. So I was in a transitional phase of just life in general.
Right.
And then I came out the other end of that kind of lull of life for myself. And I sat down and it just started clicking. The words started clicking. And then, and the arrangement was way longer before, and I knew I needed to like cut some of the fat out just to get it to the point. I had a few friends come by and listen to the track as it was being built, and they were like, they just threw some ideas out there, which helped kind of mold it.
Yeah.
So kind of went through that whole process, and then finally it arrived at a place I felt was cool. And then that's when I met, with one of the drummers that I use all the time, Greg Clifford, uh-huh. and just we sat down and he played drums to it. But then even sometimes when he plays drums, I'll go back and re-record bass to lock in more with him.
Right, right.
Which kind of changes things again. So it's almost like I write the song or the sketch of the song and record a version of it to a place where it's like, I guess the arrangement's pretty set lengthwise.
Right.
Get the drummer on it and then go back and tweak the arrangement. Okay. With final touches, and then at the very end sing all the parts,
okay,
because there's a lot of vocal harmonies in that one too,
right?
And even that, with the harmonies on that, my other buddy Mike Sinclair was over one day and he heard the chorus and he's like, oh, that's great. And I don't remember what he said, but he said something, and then that tweaked the chorus even, and then I even kept his little like scratch vocal take. It's in there, so he's singing on it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was a pretty drawn out process to get through to the end of this song, you know.
Yeah,
which was fun, and I don't think I'd ever spent that long on a song ever, but that's kind of where I'm at now. Like I'm really being, you know, just really really diligent about taking time to make sure it just gets to the right place.
So how does this translate then live? Like,
I'm figuring that out.
Yeah, because you do it as a three piece.
Most
of the time,
there's
a little bit more freedom and there's like the perfect mixture of organic and machine on your on Cocaine Queen.
Yeah,
On all the songs. And I was gonna point out, is it Amplified Crickets that has a pretty crazy bass line?
Yeah,
like in the yeah.
It's
pretty badass.
Pretty funky. That was Dan Workman's one of his favorite ones.
Oh, really?
Well, when we met. Again, it was like 4 or 5 years ago whenever we started this process. And I went over to his studio in Houston and we chatted, and he had listened to some of my catalog and I played him some stuff that was happening at that time. And he just asked me, he's like, so where do I fit into this? Because I have a heavy hand in producing and mixing and doing things all the time, but I'm not opposed to working with other people. And
right.
So that was when I played him Amplified Crickets, actually. And he just was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. I want part of this. And so that the funk element is what really pulled him in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's super. It's like, do you ever listen to Paul's Boutique?
No. I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
There's some of the drums on there. And Check Your Head's kind of like that, too. Yeah. That real trashed out.
Yeah.
Drum sound.
I went through the... Actually, I just read their biography last year-ish. And funny enough, I found out or stumbled upon their biography because I saw them speak at South By a couple years ago. And I was like, I gotta find this thing. And then funny enough, I was in Albuquerque in the middle of pandemic or whatever, just taking a drive to get away.
Right.
And my friend he wasn't there. I was crashing at his apartment and he had it on his coffee table. And so I started reading it and it almost made what I'm doing make more sense to me because they were so free with all of that.
Yeah.
Drum machines, half organic, half human.
And in that era, it was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here, will you hand me that? We got to not have this squeaky guy. Man, Rosie, you'll find any way to ruin the show. She's like, it's cool. It's like, you know how did you ever, we used to watch Pink Panther movies?
Oh, yeah.
You know how he has Kato?
Yeah.
She's like my Kato during the podcast, like just constantly fucking with me.
Yeah.
See if I can keep up with it.
Yeah, it's great.
The whole record has that super fun, like summer, like top down.
Yeah.
I told you that when I saw you at that party.
You did. That's right. Yeah.
So how was your South By?
It was interesting.
Did you play?
I did I think I played the appropriate amount, which I say is
what is the appropriate amount? Like 16 gigs?
No, it was eight and 10 or 11 days.
But that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. But you say that to most people, and they're like, "That's a lot." But you know, to South Byers, people pack it in like 17 gigs, whatever. No, I'm not doing that again. I'm gonna play less next year, probably even.
There's that point in the middle of it where you're like, "Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this gig?"
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
your bro was like, "No, I got this thing at this corner thing that has corn dogs. And
right.
It's going to be awesome, dude."
And then you get there and you're like, "Why am I playing a corn dog fest?" It was cool. There was a big part of getting sea legs back under me for sure, just because it hasn't been around for 2 years. And also, more than it not being around, it was just the stimulation of like,
sorry,
it's okay. It was more the stimulation of just that stimulation, just people everywhere, things going on.
That party on that Monday where I saw you, that amped up party, that was buzzing.
It was.
Yeah.
So I had trouble sleeping the first few days of it. Like I would go home and it was hard to power down and like recharge and stuff.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, I took like a night off. I was home by like 5 p.m. and I didn't go out and see anything and tried to recharge and it worked. And then I had to do that again, like on Friday or Saturday night or something, and just power down again to kind of make it through it. Whereas in the past, it was just always like, go, 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 go.
Right. Every single, like all day, all night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was, I felt like that, well, that was a new element of it for me this year. Maybe it'll be different next year, or maybe I'm just getting a little older and I just want to be more away from it, you know?
I think that starts to happen after a while. I think you kind of get to a point where you're like, hey, man, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't be doing this
all the time.
No, not just, it's like overplaying because then it makes like not all the gigs great.
Right.
And wouldn't you rather play like 3 great gigs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 17 like questionable shows.
No, which I've done many a times in the past. I was glad I was here though. It was cool. I always say for that 2 week period-ish, it's like Austin is the hippest place on the planet as far as creativity goes, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody in tech and education and music want to be here hanging out at that thing.
Yeah.
And that's special.
You know,
it's special that we have that in this town.
Did you play any shows that stood out that were like, oh man, this is...
Yeah, definitely. Our showcase was cool. We did Saturday night, 10 p.m. at the Saxon Pub.
Nice.
So that was like a primo slot. I feel like they upgraded us because in the past we would have been like, Tuesday, 1 a.m., Thursday, midnight. And so...
I did a Saturday 1 a.m. one time.
Yeah. And even that can be
that
a little...
That was my showcase. Oh, it was terrible.
Quiet, yeah. Because everybody's either already blasted or where they're going to be for the night, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at their hotel packing, or like puking,
right?
Or gone. Some people leave on Saturday,
or strung out on drugs. Who knows?
Yeah.
But then the final Sunday, I got to close it all out with Alejandro again.
Yeah,
yeah. I played guitar for him that
night. Did you get COVID?
No, I did not.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, I know.
I got sick. out like on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I thought I had COVID, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I've started to feel better on Sunday, and I was like, good, I'm going to go do this all day.
Yeah.
See the ghost wolf, see you.
Yeah, yeah.
See Alejandro. And there was a bunch of other people I wanted. Rosie.
Oh, but you got sick.
But I got, man, Sunday I was like, wow, man, I kind of feel okay, but I kind of don't.
You were just tired, yeah.
From being sick,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm laying there, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to go. And right. then like all the pictures that night, like I was like, oh, yeah. man. But then like 3 days later, like Diane Scott's like, yeah. shit, I got COVID. And then like, boom, all these other people that
they
were
all
there.
Got it.
Alejandro, everyone, yeah. yeah.
Rosie got it? Yeah, yeah. They're all doing well now. They're doing better, but they definitely got sick. So the night was fun. The aftermath was a little like, you know, the going home gift wasn't fun for everyone.
No, no, but what a great thing to get to have that show again.
It was
because it's such a quintessential part of what South By has been.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a great show. It was packed, you know, like it was packed to the gills, and cause he hadn't even had a show in 2 years. So it was nice for him to get back out and get out there. And there's a few summer dates with him.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent, man.
Yeah, we're going to do like 4th of July in Chicago. And then there's like, I think the Vancouver Folk Fest in August. And those will be long weekends with other dates that surround it and stuff.
Cool.
So,
hey, I went to your website to look at the tour dates and there's no dates.
For me?
On your website?
Not yeah. just yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to announce some stuff pretty soon?
Yeah. It's kind of always like a come and go thing. I was real busy from February up until like right now-ish. And it's slowed down. I'm doing like some side guy stuff and private gigs and this and that.
I was going to ask you that. When you do stuff with Alejandro,
mm-hmm.
or you've done stuff, I don't know. Do you still do? I guess no one's really ever out of it. Like you kind yeah. of, you pass through and you might pass through again.
Yeah. yeah. That's exactly how it goes. I always like to say that gig is like, I treat it like a wedding gig. It comes, it's awesome money. It's a great time. And
yeah.
then it's gone. And then it'll come back around some point and.
Do you put yourself out there in that?
I try to. I think I'm doing it more these days. Like when I first got to Austin, I just really wanted to focus on Buenos Dias and get all of that off the ground and running. And I had done a lot of side guy work in New Orleans and New York when I lived over there. So I took a step back from it. But now I think I'm doing it more often for sure. Like this month is mostly all side guy gigs for me.
Who are you playing with?
I'm playing this Saturday with this local band, Motenko.
Oh, love him,
you know,
man.
Micah?
Yeah, yeah, I love Micah, I love too. That dude.
Yeah. And we're playing at the Mucky Duck in Houston on Saturday.
Awesome.
He's
a monster.
Oh, he's too, great,
player.
Man. Yeah, he's
cool guy, too.
Great singer, great everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
And I like playing in his band because it's also pretty reminiscent of New Orleans-y stuff for me.
Yeah, you guys have complimentary...
Mm-hmm.
songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
your music's real complimentary.
Yeah. So I enjoy that gig and well I guess his guitar player has been working with White Denim a little bit now.
Oh yeah.
So he's out of the mix a little more these days.
Okay.
Which and I always tell him like, yeah, holler at me if you need me. And then I've been working with Alex Ruiz from Del Castillo.
Oh yeah.
On his stuff. So and then some of course like wedding and private gigs and stuff like that. So yeah.
Who do you do that? Do you do that on your own?
No, I do it with this band, the Royal Dukes band.
Okay. What's the genre?
Oh, it's everything. The whole
oh,
American
the everything
songbook, thing. Yeah. From like, you know, whatever.
Fly Me to the Moon
yeah.
to
yeah,
like, Bruno Mars.
Yes. To Beyonce, to Motown, to AC/DC, to whatever, you know, like
yeah, yeah.
It's the whole thing. Most of the time I just for every once in a while I'll sing and play guitar, but I prefer just to play guitar in those gigs. I have so much music in my head for my own stuff. It's a lot of work to learn cover lyrics for me at least, you know,
dude. Yeah.
It's a lot of like memory bandwidth.
Yeah.
And I don't want to show up and half ass that and sing it.
No,
not
no.
cool. You know,
I was just about to say it's funny. You know, what really gets me?
What's that?
The difference lyrically in the first chorus and the second chorus of Footloose.
Oh yeah.
It almost always throws me. They're different names doing different things.
Love that song though.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, that's funny.
It does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of dudes now doing like before wedding band guys weren't the guys that you knew that were.
It was pretty separate, wasn't it?
Separate worlds, yeah.
I would agree with that, just in my history of knowing it. Because I didn't really do wedding band stuff until I got to Austin.
Right. A lot of fucking work, though.
Yeah, and that was like the separation. I wasn't one of those guys. And there were guys that did that, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
And now it's a little intertwined.
Yeah. I don't mean it's a lot of work as like elbow grease. I mean, there's a lot of work out there.
Oh, yeah. For, like, tons.
The guys in Skyrocket, like, we had a couple whack, like, slow months. One dude's been going out and playing like two weddings a weekend, like with two different bands that are like, dudes have like, just have like a band and they throw together a thing and like, everybody has to know, I want to dance with somebody. And you do the no rehearsal. Like,
So you just,
isn't that scary though?
Not anymore. And it was stressful in the beginning, but
stressful. That's like the best day of their life. What if there's a bunch of train wrecks?
Well, I've been there. I've been at those gigs, you know, like guys that show up and aren't prepped and stuff. And then it's just like, you know, when that happens, it's just like, I mean, you're pulling, and I don't mean me personally, but just like the guys that show up unprepped, well, the guys that are prepped, you're just like pulling just a train, you know, just like with a rope.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's tiring. It's exhausting. And the gig is long.
It does. It isn't fun.
It's not
fun. You can't go forward. You're just sitting in this.
Right.
You're just polishing a turd the whole time.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah. But you're right. But you know what? I don't think like it's the most important of everyone's day of everyone's life that's getting married or whatever it is. But I mean, once you throw the booze in the mix and it's like they're just partying, they don't, I don't think they notice that stuff like we do.
I still get stressed out. Like, those are pretty much the gigs that stress me. And if I have to sing like
the... Oh, singing is stressful.
Like the, you have to sing that. Yeah. What did I have? What was the last one I had to do? I had to learn it. That Aerosmith song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a hard song, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Power ballad.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's Pipe Central.
Yeah. And then there are ones that have been like, I did one time that was even harder. Trish sang it and I played piano and it was For You, There'll Be No... That Fleetwood Mac song?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was hard because somebody else was singing it.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been so much easier if I would have had to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it would have been there, but you can't hear and there's no like click, 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 you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I do get nervous about that.
No, I mean, I hear you, man.
Yeah.
So most of the time, like at least with that situation these days, again, because I've been doing it for 10-ish years, I'm showing up and I know most of the musicians that are on those gigs. Every once in a while, some new people will show up. They're the ones that are stressed out.
Right.
And I can tell, you know, but the songbook it's pretty similar across the board these days. You know, maybe they throw in three new tunes or something. So it's like, I've played these songs a bunch of times now.
Is, Shut Up and Dance
Shut
with
and Dance.
Me. That's a big,
Walk to the, walk, what's that band called? Walk the Moon or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just played that last night.
Yeah.
That song stressed me out. And you know why that song stressed me out when it first showed up? And I've thought about this because a lot of times, you know, some of these musicians that are on these gigs, they're studied musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, to transpose a horn part or something, I feel like it's pretty fluid for them. I didn't study music. And I mean, I have at this point a little bit, but it's like when it's power chords, it's all based off of, like, what do you call it? Like the form on the fretboard or just like the positioning.
Right, right.
And then if you switch it one spot, it's easy to get thrown off because you're in between what the original key is or what the key change is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when that song showed up, people were always fluctuating between C and C sharp.
Right.
You know, and I was like, oh God, man, this is just like, and I would get there and I knew it in one key, but also like I'm practicing to the original song and it's like, I got it. But then they switch it on me and I'm
like, I
hate
that.
Oh, that's stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this thing, Song Division?
No.
It's like this company that uses songwriting as a corporate team building tool.
I've heard of something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's some dudes here in town that do it.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I've done a lot of them, but they have a cover set. Like, you'd have to do a cover set at the end of the end of the whole thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
And there's always like those, like the Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't even think of
Journey. They don't throw that down.
I always try to talk people out of that because that, man, that's really hard.
It's a hard tune. Yeah.
Just that minute and 27 seconds and I've timed it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's just faster than you think it is, too. Like, da-na-na-na-na-na. I was practicing it before you came here because in a couple weeks I have to do it at a wedding.
Oh, right.
It takes me a little while to ramp up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm in 27.
Yeah. It's funny. There's another keyboard player in Skyrocket, and he was like, oh, I've been playing it at these wedding gigs, so I've got it. And I was like, well, now I feel like a dickhead. I don't want to not like be the guy that couldn't do it.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, off of all that stuff. Yeah. But that's like real shit. I mean, that's how we all make a living, and you're able to make your records and pay a guy like Dan Workman to mix it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, you make that money, that private party money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I do you know, a good bit of side guy work for sure.
That's great.
Still these days. And I enjoy it, and you know, I mean, I take it seriously as anything else I do. You know, I don't want to show up and botch someone's gig or make it the worst day of someone's life.
Yeah.
or try my best to, at least.
But, right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, yeah, I dabble with all of it. And so there are no tour dates on the calendar just yet. But we're doing Central Machine Works.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on this 22nd.
What is that, like a Sunday?
It's a Friday.
Okay.
8 to 10 p.m. And then we're doing some... There's a brewery out in Driftwood, I think it is. I always get them mixed up, Driftwood Dripping. They're having like a 4-year anniversary little festival party thing, and we're going to do that on the 16th.
Oh, that's cool. Those are of April?
April, yeah. Yeah. And then we're doing like a private thing as Buenos Dias do. So Buenos Dias also just has so many like different formats. You know, I'll show up and play solo. I play duo with my bassist Dana because she plays upright. And then there's the 3-piece, like kind of psych rock band. And then it grows with keyboards, which is where this material will, I feel like, at least have to
That's
exist
what I, yeah,
as
yeah,
a 4-piece.
Yeah.
And then even we did a really cool show at the Pershing on the East Side last month. And I had a 5-piece band with extra guitar player as well.
How's that? Who'd you get? Who's your guy?
There's a good friend of mine here in town, Elijah Zane. He's a good blues guitar player. Been around for a little while, and he has his own band and stuff, and we've just become buddies. And
how do I know that name?
He plays around. I don't know. Yeah. He's in the blues scene mostly though. Okay. So, but he approached me, and he was like, well, one, he was a little burnt out on being a band leader, which I'm sure we all understand, of just scheduling and conflicts and booking gigs and all of this stuff. And
wait,
mm-hmm.
Sorry. Is his mom named Susie?
I don't know. I haven't met his mom.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
But she lives in San Antonio.
Okay, then probably not her.
Go ahead. Maybe not.
Okay.
So he came to me, and we were just hanging out one day, and I played him this stuff. I played him Cocaine Queen, actually. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, that's a track, man. And he's like, let's do that live. And I was like, you should really come play some rhythm guitar, lead guitar with me. And he sings, too. He's a great singer, So he was at that Pershing gig. So I had the 5-piece band, which I imagine will be what this record should be.
Right, right.
Whenever we do the full show and release for it.
Are you working on that release thing?
Yeah, I'm right now. Well, so this Cocaine Queen just dropped yesterday on the 4th, on Monday.
Right.
And I still handle everything. So, you know, I'm doing all the back end work for press and stuff like that. And it's just putting on different hats and juggling time of shooting those emails out, showing up for stuff like this. It was the song of the day on KUTX yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations. So, like,
thank you. Thanks. Yeah, that was really, I almost cried. I'm not going to lie. I'm really proud of that song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it came on and I was just like, oh, this is happening. This is so cool. And
it's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not the end of the road, but it's the end of the road of it being released into the world because it's in the vault for so long.
It's the end of that part. It's the end of the gestation period.
Yeah.
Now it's ready to go.
And now it's ready to go. And the next step is now for me to deliver it myself live.
Right.
But yeah, there was some joy in it coming out and some sadness in that process being over for that song. And I really am proud of that song. I mean, I think it's one of the best songs I've written so far. And so anyways, I was, you know, handling, the back end work for getting that to them, and then once it does drop and they blast it out, then I gotta reblast it out on all socials, and I gotta send it out on my email list still and stuff like that. So I'm just getting through this kind of promo phase and the record and music coming out. Then I will move into probably like, say, June-ish, figuring out the release show and all that stuff, and want to do it at a good venue and have the big band and the A band, and you know, because everybody's kind of always revolving in and out just because of schedules too. So there's like 3-4 drummers in the mix and a couple bass players and stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of things to juggle, you know, to pull it together for it to be the show that will be most representative of this recorded music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Nick, man, yeah, you really, like, this to me is the best stuff of yours that I've heard. Like, and it really has a cohesive vibe too, and it has a real vibe. Like, the songs are great. Your playing is really great. I also love that you're not always shoving that down everyone's throat all the time. You know what I mean? Because you could if you wanted to.
I guess so. I don't know. That's not me though.
No.
Yeah. I just like to work on the music and just let it do its thing, you know?
Yeah. Who are your guitar guys?
Like, influences?
Yeah, heroes.
I mean, right, the first things in my head were Santana, Prince, Hendrix, Stevie Ray, Jimmy Page.
Okay.
Yeah. All kind of the classic ones. But it's morphed too, you know, like, I mean, I listen to all kinds of stuff. Like, I really love, I have a good friend from New York who like really, I like the way he said it. When we were both young and we met, we were 18 in New Orleans in school, and we were both kind of Stevie Ray heads, you know, being teenagers.
Right.
And then fast forward to, he went through music school, we both moved to New York, and he took a trip to Brazil and studied like Brazilian samba music and bossa and stuff. And he was like, I have the same love that we used to have for Stevie Ray as a kid with blues rock and roll as I do for samba now. And that really resonated with me. And just hanging around him, he would show me vinyl and records and everything he's listening to. So like, I listen to a lot of like Caetano Veloso and like Seu Jorge and stuff like that. And I love that guitar style. And I think I'm not playing samba or bossa, but like that kind of more delicate approach to playing guitar works itself into my solo shows, duo shows, and then even in the band shows when we play more like delicate songs and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking that you were going more in a Latin psychedelic. I was wondering if you knew like those, all the Grupo Fantasma family of.
Well, the last EP that I did, I did with Beto.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. And
You did it on the 388.
Yeah,
at Leche House.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun time. We're always in touch, texting, whatever. And we're going to work together again. And I want to get real more psychedelic with him because that's his world.
Yeah.
You know, like he's great with that stuff, the Chicha stuff and all
that. Yeah. Those guys are so awesome.
Talk about a vibe.
Just all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That band threw out like just so many bands. You know what I mean? Like there's like some kind of... I don't know if you ever saw, but like in the 70s and 80s, there used to be those rock family trees that you could buy at the head shops, and it would have all the band names in the tree and who came from who and who came from.
Yeah, I do know.
Like that could be its own fucking giant tree.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Yeah, totally. I know.
And
now he's doing a lot more producing at Leche House because he's grown the studio and he's working with all these other bands in town that are kind of growing that tree more now.
Right, because there's all these different bands. You know what's really funny is I was talking to somebody about it, and you know Nemegata?
Yeah.
So it was like trying to figure out who's who, and like in the rock world, what's the equivalent of each band in this certain scene?
Right.
And Nemegata is like the Rush of the Latin, you know what I mean? Because they're not a party band, and they're like super complicated and like weird, crazy shit going on.
Yeah, that's totally...
I told them that, and they kind of laughed, but they didn't.
It didn't really click.
I think so. I think Cesar.
Yeah.
He got him. Where I was coming from.
Yeah. I'm really good friends with his wife, and we've been trying to organize, like, I want them to come over for dinner.
Yeah.
And we just have a hang, because every time we hang, we just get, like, really stoned and just, like, geek out on everything and eat good food and stuff. So I moved recently, so, like, it's important to me to invite like good friends to come over and hang at the new apartment and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you cook?
Oh yeah. I made a French chicken last night in a Le Creuset Dutch oven.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It came out killer. And I mean, of course I didn't eat the whole chicken, but so then I shredded it up and I'm going to use that leftover meat and make some chicken tacos with that next up to bat. Yeah. I love cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love cooking, and a little tidbit of information is that, man, I lived in my studio the past 5 years. There was no kitchen. I had a makeshift hot plate and like a toaster oven. So moving into an apartment is huge for me.
Yeah.
You know, like to get back to a little bit of normalcy as far as human goes, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been cooking a lot now in my kitchen again and stuff.
You know what I wanted to ask you about before I went off on a tangent before was, It seems like since quarantine kind of ended, like beginning of 2021, end of 2020, like these new, this new world of places, because you said you're playing Central Machine Works.
Yeah.
That place is badass.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a great place.
It's a great sound and like built in 300 person crowd almost every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. Great drinks.
Yeah.
Good pizzas.
The food is killer. They have, killer. Speaking of chicken, they have this chicken sandwich that I got there one time because they also feed you when you play there, which is great.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And I was like, this is like one of the best damn chicken sandwiches in town. It's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like they've been having some really good shows there too.
Yeah. That guy over there, Justin, and he's the talent buyer. He's really cool. And actually, I remember, so we went through as everyone did, pandemic style, but like we went through a run of like, we had many shows booked there and they kept getting canceled either for COVID or for weather because of the, you know, erratic like Texas weather, winter weather too. Right. And so finally we made good on that date and we played and he was there and we chatted. And it's kind of like what we're saying right now. He was just like, you run around with this circle that I pay attention to. And like, we've had a lot of those bands here. I see y'all all work together. You all play together and sub in and out of each other's bands. And he was talking about Motenko. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Adam Johnson, who's great, who's a great guitar player in town. Adam has his thing, Adam Johnson, and then he does Cold Jackets, and then that has Mark Henney in it, who plays with like Black Joe Lewis, and it's just like, you know, the web extends.
Right, right, right.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I don't want to say he's doing his job, but he's paying attention to what's happening in this town. And like he was knowledgeable about who's working with who and who's right. working and hustling gigs and stuff. So that place is really cool. I like hanging there and playing there. Sometimes it's a little too packed to want to hang there all the time, but it's a great spot.
That's, I mean, you know, for somebody for playing there, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah, totally.
What's the other place? Meanwhile, that's another. Have you played there?
Yeah, I did one
that's
there
a good
too.
Place.
We ran into that same kind of pandemic and weather, like, you know, fiasco. Oh, yeah. Then we finally got in there too, and that place is. I mean, I remember the first time I walked in there, and I was like, "Yo, this place is almost bigger than Stubbs."
Yeah,
and the sound system is top notch,
killer. Yeah,
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 yeah. So we got the trio in there finally, and that was a great show too. And same thing, cool food trucks and great beer. Their beer is good.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. Far Out's another place that really like became like mm-hmm. the, like it became the place, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
it seems like it became the place over the last 2 years.
Well, and definitely because it's like in, you know, that southern part of town.
Yeah,
it's the only venue around that area. So everybody from like Slaughter Lane, South, well,
it's,
South,
but it's not. Austin. There's like Sagebrush. There's like,
well, now I guess so. Yeah, but that's still pretty further south than Sagebrush. I mean.
I guess so.
For people that live down there.
Right.
Like people that live around that area, I don't think they're coming.
Luster Pearl has a new place there. I played there a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's good. A cool place too, yeah. There's that is a whole strip over there, like Armadillo Den.
Right, right.
Luster Pearl South, South Austin Beer Garden.
So you like this. I like it. Outdoor venue.
Oh, yeah.
The new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down with it. I mean, I love being in a sweaty club too, but.
Yeah.
This, I think that's what pulled us through the pandemic in Austin is that we have the luxury of having so many outdoor venues.
Right. Did you do a lot of like a brewery, like those breweries and wineries out there?
I've done that
yeah.
as well. Yeah. You mean like out in the hill country?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Out there. Out there. You've been out there, man. You went out there with them crazy wine people, man.
Them winos out there.
I went out there. I haven't played one of those gigs, but I studied the gig. Like I said, I went out there, it must have been like around noon or something. There was some guys playing, I guess they were doing the brunch thing, and I caught their uh-huh. second set. Uh-huh. They play like two sets, and then another uh-huh. group or artist comes in at like, you know, 2:30 or 3,
yep.
plays the rest of the time.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, some of them.
All of them have music.
They've all got a ton of music out there. It was like Ghost Note Brewing is super cool. What's the other Rough House Brewing is super groovy. I've been out there. Vista Brewing Company, that's the one we're doing on the 16th.
Okay.
Vista Brewing is cool.
That's a good place.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool places out there.
Yeah. Out there.
Out there with them winos.
Well, dude, when you play in Houston, were you playing Continental Club there?
Mostly Continental Club, still Mucky Duck sometimes. And Yeah, those are kind of the two. There's a Green Oaks Tavern is a place out there that I'm about to try to start getting into. Like, my friends play there.
It's a good place.
It's supposed to have like a really groovy listening room vibe.
Cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the tier for Houston for sure. I was doing Wide Oak Music Hall for a little while, but then that kind of changed post pandemic. But maybe I'll get back in there soon.
It seems like they're not doing as much stuff as they were before the pandemic.
I don't think they are either. And also, they've kind of, it seems at least from the outside, shifted to, like, they have that big outdoor amphitheater style, like Stubbs.
Yeah.
So they're hosting those shows and maybe a little less shows of the indoor shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're doing the, have you ever played Last Concert?
Yeah. They, man, that's actually a sad story, good story. Like, so okay. I was there a couple months back. And because I used to hang out around there, I used to play at Last Concert all the time. Mm-hmm. And there were there in front of the Last Concert, there was like those really cool, almost like loft looking warehouses.
Uh-huh.
Demolished.
Oh, really?
It's leveled. And they closed the restaurant at Last Concert Cafe.
Really?
Because of the pandemic, they were struggling and they barely have shows now. They probably won't last too long because they're putting nothing but condos there.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. There was
I'm playing there June 3rd.
Oh, are you? I mean, maybe it'll stick around, but
it's
like
a great like money gig for Sky, like as far as a public show, just because you can fit so many people in
that backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I went in, there's a really cool little bodega right there around the corner from it. And I went in there and I talked to the girl for a second and she was like, yeah. I said, man, I used to hang out around here as a kid all the time. And she's like, no, this is where I grew up hanging too. She's like, this is what's happening. So
damn.
I know.
Well, man, I'm looking for, I want to see this 5-piece band.
I will let you know, and I'm going to put it together, and this music has to be delivered the way it sounds as close as possible to that record, so.
And so, by the time this comes out, Cocaine Queen, it's already out by the time, because it came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Cocaine Queen is out, Amplified Crickets comes out May 13th.
Yes.
And Please Be Kind, Rewind, which, by the way, is also an awesome song.
Thanks.
Comes out on June 24th.
Yeah, and then the album drops on the 5th, August 5th, I believe.
August 5th.
Yeah. So there's a little, there'll be some teasers, and then we'll drop that bad boy and take it from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're feeling good about it, though, right?
I should.
Yeah, like,
I feel great about it.
No, yeah,
I feel, it's more, I feel great about it. The wheels are spinning for all the things I just want to try to do to promote it and, you know, just get it into the world as much as possible. I work with a small label in Houston, and he helps with some digital marketing, but that's mostly, he's just helping with the distribution and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm still DIYing this bad boy, which is fine.
Do you make physical copies?
I will make some CDs of it, and this one I'm pretty sure is going to go to vinyl. It has to. I haven't had vinyl yet, just because of the price, the production, the time, the whole deal. I want this one to go to vinyl.
This is the kind of record you should be able to roll a joint on it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm already planning like the full album photo shoot, which I'm pretty sure we're going to do at Seaboys.
Cool.
For the album cover and stuff. So like this, and I really want to work on some videos with Barbara FG in town.
Oh yes, amazing.
I think this music is suited for her style of videos.
What's her band called?
Buffalo Hunt.
Buffalo Hunt.
Yeah.
Jesus, I love them, man.
Oh, they're cool. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a great cool, bass man. Player. Yeah.
She's great. You know, she plays with Alejandro as well.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's how I know her well, at least because we're in that band together.
Mm.
And for anyone that doesn't know, I don't think we've said his full name, but Alejandro Escovedo.
What jerks. There's somebody sitting there like, somebody used to say that about Jody Denberg to me all the time. Like, are you friends with him? And I'm like, yeah, he's a really sweet guy. He's so arrogant. He comes on the radio and goes, hi, this is Jody. He doesn't say his last name. I'm like, yeah, but 90, I mean, you know his last name. Yeah, why does he have to say it?
Of course.
So that you think he's humble?
Yeah.
But Alejandro is Alejandro Escovedo.
Yeah. Yeah, so Barbara plays in that in the band with us too, and we'll be on the road together but her video work is stellar.
Fantastic. Didn't she just win an award for this really great video she made for
Sir Woman?
Sir Woman.
They won video of the year.
Yeah,
at the Austin Music Awards.
I voted for it. I was a judge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, forgot all about that.
Were you at that ceremony? Did I see you?
Nope. You know how they do it now? They just send you a thing. You watch them. Fucking say what you say on each one.
Okay.
And you don't go to the thing.
I went to the event. I'd never been to the Austin Music Awards.
It wasn't the Austin Music Awards. It was the Austin Music Video Awards.
Oh, well, both. She won the Austin Music Award, too. Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't on that jury.
I went to that event for the first time. I was hammered.
Yeah.
Well, this is like everyone was there, yeah, and it was just a party, and I was like, I'm just getting fucking drunk.
Yeah. Do they have a backstage thing anymore?
They did, but I didn't even make it there. I was out of there by like 11:30.
When they had it at the convention center, they had like a convention center, like a giant room for the awards with stuff. But then they had an equal size room for the backstage.
Oh, so everyone could just hang.
Right. So it was just like a cool scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once they got rid of that, I was like, I don't feel like that would be this. I don't want to sit out in that thing the whole time.
No. Yeah. Well, it was at Emo's this year. So
oh, yeah, you can't have a backstage.
So it was, you know, I mean, Emo's just an empty space.
Yeah.
So there was, everyone was just hanging out.
That's cool.
Up front.
Yeah.
That was a great night, but it was a horrible night. I don't know why I made the horrible decision to just pound canned wine all night.
Oh.
Because I usually drink like tequila soda, which keeps me pretty even keel.
Right.
And I was just putting back the canned wine because I don't know why. Anyway.
Sometimes that's the vibe, man.
Sometimes
maybe it was free. Was it free?
No, it was not free. Sometimes you just go down a wonky road and that happens. You know, you just roll with it. Sleep it off the next day.
Yeah.
But yeah, she won the award for that too. And aside from the awards though, like, I mean, I've watched her work for a couple of years now, and it's like she does stellar video work.
Great
and photography work.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to work with her for a track on this, at least for a video.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun. Maybe Cocaine Queen.
I need to get her band on here.
Buffalo Hunt. Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they are great. All right. Well, you're great. Buenos dias, baby.
Thanks, man.
Buenos dias, Nick Diaz. I was singing a lot of songs about you to my dog before. Also, I got these glasses the other day at Half Price Books. Guys, they're blue readers.
Those are great. On
and
you.
Then I said to my friend Todd Wolfson, whoops, I hope my friend Nick Diaz doesn't think that I'm trying to rip off his colorful glasses thing.
No.
I needed some, and those were the best ones there. And then I realized they were blue like when I got home. But then I realized they look like Al Roker's glasses.
That's amazing.
I'm off
this. It's like a Cops some Al Roker style. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, dude, it's great to see you.
You too,
and this
man.
Record's great. Everyone go out there and check out the single Cocaine Queen. Amplified Crickets will be out on May 13th. Please Be Kind Rewind on June 24th. And the album itself, Cocaine Queen, out August 5th.
Yes, sir.
2022. Go to Buenos Dias Music for all of your... BuenosDiasMusic.com for all of your Buenos Dias.
Or Buenos Dias Music on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On all the places.
All the places. All those digital things.
All the places you visit. All right, dude. Good having you on.
All right, man. Thanks, Johnny. On me.
That's Nick Diaz from the band Buenos Dias. Their album, Cocaine Queen, drops August 5th. His new single, Amplified Crickets, drops next Friday, May 13th. You can check out the single Cocaine Queen now, wherever it is you stream and download music. Go to Buenos Dias Music for all of your Buenos Dias music needs. Always great catching up with Nick. What a great dude. What a great dude. I love that guy. All right, gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out BuenosDiasMusic.com, subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. New shows every Tuesday, every Friday, sometimes three shows a week, sometimes from the vault episodes. You never know what's going to happen, but definitely two shows a week, okay? Get into it. Subscribe. Get involved. Let us know how we're doing. Let's hear the rest of this song, Cocaine Queen. All right, Buenos Dias. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.